any church. And I was like, well, I don't really know if I should teach on this. And God said, no, you need to teach on it. So I am. I talked to Natalie. I sent her a text. I said, Natalie, I said, this is the theme of the message. And she goes, yes, confirmation. So if Natalie says it's confirmation, I know it's God. So the title is Hell No. And the theme is about hell. Today I'm going to talk about hell. Well,
I like it.
You know, the confirmation. Anybody else like it? So, you know, I mean, I love to preach a good message, to jump and shout and tell everybody about the Holy Ghost and how you have victory and how you have faith in God and God will come through for you. But every now and then, you need to teach on some of the things that are extremely important. And if you don't think hell is important, it really, really is. And the reason why it's important is because Jesus spent more time teaching about hell than he did about heaven. That should kind of rattle your cage a little bit. And the reason why he taught more about hell than he did to heaven is because he didn't want anybody to go there. And you know, I watched, you have those on DirecTV, you have like a block of 10 channels that are like Inspiration Channel, Word Channel, TBN Channel, God Channel, Jesus Channel, Holy Spirit Channel. I mean, you go down a list, and you know, I typically watch them to see what theme and what everybody's preaching. Never hear about hell. Ever, 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 ever. And I'm not saying they're wrong, but when I just felt in my heart that I needed to do this, you know, God said, we really need to, no one's doing it. And there is no fear anymore of living holy or living right. You know, the best, I mean, look, you can go to, I watched a church this morning online, it was about 6,000 people. Message was great. You know, God's for you, not against you. God will take care, you know, wonderful message. But if people walk out of there and go to hell, what good was the message? And so, you know, one of the things that there's a statement that really bothers me, and I heard it a lot, actually while I was in Greece, and you hear it a lot here. You know, when you ask them about it, hey, where, see, the bottom line is you're either going to heaven or hell. All right, let's just cut to the chase. When you die, there is no other place you're going to go. It's either heaven or hell. And when I asked a couple of people while I was in Greece and just in general, one of the things that I always hear is this, is, well, God knows my heart. And that's probably one of the biggest lies, not a lie from God's point, but it's probably the biggest excuse or cop-out for us. Because I'm always reminded of a scripture where Jesus said, get away from me because I never knew you. And these guys were doing things in his name. They were healing people, casting devils out, all that. And, you know, and basically they were saying, well, Jesus knows my heart. And he said, no, I don't. I have no idea who you are. Wow. What's your name? So I want to really battle that, you know, God knows my heart deal. You know, and the topic of hell, sometimes people get scared about it. Well, you should, because you don't want to go there. And so I want to give a real systematic teaching on it and just get some scriptures, solid scriptures about hell. Like I said, Jesus taught more about hell than he did about heaven. And so the title, Hell No, is Hell No, I ain't going to hell. Amen? Amen. So one of the things that we hear a lot, and again, I heard this a lot in Greece when I was there trying to share the gospel with my relatives, is you get a wide range of responses or beliefs. One of those is reincarnation. Right, I'll go from the two ends, right? One, people think that you're going to come back and you're going to be reincarnated depending on how you live here. You know, if you live a bad life here, you'll come back as a butterfly or a tadpole or a bug. You know, and it's like, I don't want to do that. You know, and the scripture against reincarnation is simple. Hebrews 7 said, it's appointed unto man to die once, and then comes the judgment. So you know that YOLO, you only live once? Well, that's true, you only live once. You're not going to come back again and try and relive over and over and over and over and over again. Somebody, you know, there's people that say, they go to psychics and they say, well, you're an old soul, you've been around since the 1800s or 1900s. No, that's hogwash. Those are fairy tales, old wives' tales, to take you away from the truth of the gospel. Jesus came to be very truthful. He said, listen, there is a hell and there is a heaven. Now, I know I'm not going to be a fire and brimstone preacher. I never have been. But there needs to be a teaching on fire and brimstone, because hell is a real place. And Jesus, God, does not want you to go there. That's why he came. To open up heaven for us. And so the other side of the teaching is, you know, there is no God to atheists, right? That's a whole other side. Well, there is no God, and so once I die, I'm just gone and no existence and things like that. Well, that's not true either, because Jesus said there is an everlasting punishment. There's an everlasting life. You know, he said, I came to give you eternal life. And so, no, you live forever. Amen. You live forever. You will never cease to exist. But you will either exist in hell or in heaven. Now, the in-between is purgatory. You know, the teaching of purgatory is that, well, when you die, you're in this special place where you're, now it's up to your family to get you out of there. They have to pay for your sins. They'll pray you out. You could be there for 100 years, 200 years, 300 years. There is absolutely no place in the Bible that it says there is a purgatory. Nothing, ever, ever, ever. Jesus said it's really clear. It's heaven or hell. Paul said this, when I'm absent in the body, I am present with the Lord. There is no temporary place. So when you die, listen, you make your choice here on the earth. You decide here if you're going to heaven or you're going to hell. And Jesus came to tell you crystal clear, there's heaven or hell, I want you to choose heaven. You know, he gave us the answer to the test, right? Like in the Old Testament, he said, I put before you death and life, therefore choose life. He said, here, these are the two choices. I'll give you the answer to the test. How many of my students here always love when I give you the answer to the test? Oh, praise the, you know, you get the answer to the test, like, oh, it's 100. But then why is it that some knuckleheads say, well, I don't believe that, I'll do something else. Amen. Preach, praise the Lord. All right. So let's talk about hell for a little bit. Now, I want to start out by saying this. Hell is a temporary place. Hell is just a temporary place. Hell is a temporary place. Where is your father? Say it again, Mon. Hell is a temporary place because eventually hell is going to be thrown into the lake of fire. You understand? So it's even hell is temporary. There is something even worse than hell. And it's called the lake of fire, where you'll burn forever and ever and ever and ever. Did I stress that enough? You'll burn. There'll be fire. You'll feel it. And you'll have fire burning from every orifice of your body, every organ in your body. This flesh may go away, but who you are inside stays intact. And you'll have every sensation there too. So hell is a temporary place, because Jesus said that all, enduring the judgment, that's all getting thrown in the lake of fire, which is for everlasting and everlasting and everlasting. It's infinity and beyond. It's just like heaven. Heaven is infinity and beyond. Heaven is joy. It's happiness. It's peace. It's love. It's all the wonderful things that God is, all wrapped up into one, and it's forever. It's eternal. Now, here's the neat thing. In John 3:16, Jesus said this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So, in other words, the moment you get born again, you step into eternity. And that eternity is heaven. Praise the Lord Jesus. Here's one of the things that we need to understand. Go to Matthew 12. I said open your Bibles, right? Let me give you some more scripture. Matthew 12. Let's go to Matthew 12. I thought I was going to teach, but the preach keeps coming on. Matthew 12. Only preachers know what that means. The preach comes on. Matthew 12, verse 40. You guys leaving? What did I say? Somebody said. Bathroom, right? You have to go to the bathroom. Matthew 12, verse, let's go to verse 39. This is Jesus talking, because it's in red. But he answered and said to them, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. Here's the sign, verse 40. For as Jonah was 3 days and nights in the belly of the whale, of the great fish, so will be the Son of Man 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Jesus told us over and over, and so did Peter, so did Paul, that Jesus died. When he died, he went to hell. He went to hell so we won't have to. Amen. Hell is only for unrighteous beings or people. Hell is not for righteous people. Jesus paid the ultimate price. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. That Greek word is nekros. It means spiritual death, not physical death. Everybody in this room will die physically, I guarantee you, unless Jesus comes back. Everybody's like, no. Listen, you know, this is man's 6,000 years of history, correct? We have 6,000 years. People have come and gone. Thousands of people have come and gone. I calculated that from the time of Adam till now, it's 254 generations. So that's so many people. When I was in Greece, I went back and looked at my great-great-great-grandfather, and I think I did a little video on it. But you know what? He came, and he thought Jesus was coming back. He preached the gospel. He died. His son lived out, thought he was Jesus going to come back. He died. His son, my grandfather, my father. Now it's my turn. If Jesus doesn't come back, I'm going to die. And I'm not afraid of it because I'm going to heaven. You know, that's one thing we need to understand as Christians. There is a heaven to gain. It just gets better and better and better after this point. Paul said, you know, I don't want to stay here anymore. He says, heaven is far better, but I need to stay here for your sakes. Amen? Now, I'm not looking to check out anytime soon. I still got work to do. Amen? I got to raise a grandson. I've got, you know, more grandchildren to raise. Janice and I have work to do. There's people on this planet need to hear Jesus. We need to work together to reach the world. We're not going anywhere anytime soon. Thank you for your amens. But when the day comes and my body is tired and expires, thank God I'll step right into glory. I'm not going to hell, and that's not arrogant or prideful, because I've given my life to Jesus Christ, and I have a witness in me that I'm born again. I know it. That's the key thing. We need to know like you know like you know. I'm going to heaven, not because of what I've done, because of what he did. He died. He paid the price. He went to hell for me. When he went to hell, he said, hell no. No one knew you were going in that place. And he came back and he offered eternal life. He said, bam, here I am. I've conquered death, hell, and the grave. So can you. Amen. He took upon himself all of our sin, all of our sickness, all of our poverty, all of our depression, all of our faults, all of our bad stuff. And he took him and he buried them in hell. And when he came out, he burst open the grave and he said, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? He said, this is it. I am eternal life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. We need to tell the truth. You need to know him, and he needs to know you. I met Janice, 34 years ago? We just celebrated 33 years. I met you 34 years ago. But you know what? I had my eye on her. I wanted to know her. Well, so how'd I do it? I kept being where she was. I kept showing up in places where she was. Huh? She was attending this Bible study that I got invited to, and I really didn't like it. But when I saw her, I said, I'm going back next week. Oh, hell yeah, I'm going back next week. Janice would walk in after, she would go be right after the gym, you know, all nice, felt, fit, and all that, you know, pre-4 kids. She was a marathon runner. I was like, that's what I want. Yeah. So, but I had to make sure she wanted me. So I had to make sure she got to know me. Now, she'll tell you, I'm not her type. She likes what, tall, dark, and handsome? I'm not that. But I am Mr. Wonderful. I am the best catch she could ever have. I told her, you marry me and we'll see the world together. You know, I'm going to preach Jesus everywhere. She's like, oh no, we're going to be poor and broke. No, she didn't say that. I'm lying. I'm playing. But you know what? I made sure that she got to know my heart. I had to put myself in places where she was. It's the same thing with God. God wants to have a loving relationship with you. That means you need to be places where he's at. That means he needs to know who you are. That means you need to expose your heart to him. That means you need to take down those walls. Say, God, here I am, Jesus. Take me as I am. I give you all that I am. I love you, Jesus, and I'm not holding back on anything. I'm in this 100%. When I got down on one knee, I said, Janice, you're it. I commit my life to you. I commit my body to you. I commit my mind to you. It's all yours. And when you put the ring on it, it was over. That's it. We're together. It's the same thing with God. When you bow your knee to the Lord Jesus Christ and you commit to him, he says, that's it, man. We're together forever. Did I talk about hell yet? No, not really, right? The Bible says that Jesus went to hell. Let's go to Isaiah 14 a minute. Actually, Acts chapter 2. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. Just show you where Jesus went to hell. Acts chapter 2. People don't believe that Jesus went to hell. You can argue with me as long. I don't care how much you want to argue with me about doctrine. He went to hell. He had to go to hell. If he didn't go to hell, you will. He had to pay the full price for our sin. In Genesis chapter 2, God told Adam, in the day that you disobey me, the day that you eat of that tree, you will surely die. The Hebrew word is you will die. That's what the Hebrew says. You will die. In other words, you'll die two deaths. You'll die spiritually, and eventually you'll die physically. It's two deaths. And so what did God do when they did that? He said, I got to kick you out of the garden. Otherwise, you'll stay spiritually dead forever, and there's no way you'll ever come to heaven. He loved us so much that he said, you need to leave. Sometimes there's people that you love so much, you just need to tell them, you need to leave. You need to figure this out on your own. God says, sorry, if you don't leave, you'll never see me again. Amen? God's not an enabler. God said, listen, folks, no, you need to leave, but you need to trust me. Sometimes things don't go right in your life. You just need to trust him. Sometimes you feel that he's abandoned you. Sometimes you feel like God's turned his back on you because you don't feel him anymore. You just need to trust him, that he's working something out. Amen? Come on, he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you till the end of the age. And he's opened up. He went to the lowest parts of the earth so we won't have to. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 24. You there yet? Peter got filled with the Holy Ghost, preached the best sermon. 3,000 people got saved after this sermon. Verse 24, it says, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. He says, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh will also rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in hell, Hades. He says, you won't leave my soul there. In other words, he's there. He says, but you ain't going to leave my soul there. Do you realize that when Jesus said, it is finished, he said those last few things, then he said, into your hands I commit my spirit. and he breathed out the ghost, it says, right? And he bowed his head and he died. You know what he was saying? He said, all right, Father, remember, he just spent hours in agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, bleeding drops of blood, you know, sweating drops of blood. And now he's up there and he said, I don't want to do this. Think about this. I don't want to hang on the cross. No, he wasn't really talking about that. He says, I don't want to go to hell. It's what he was saying. Then he hung his head and he said, into your hands I commit my spirit. In other words, Father God, I trust you from this point on. I am no longer in control. When I die and go to hell, I'm trusting in you that you will not leave me there. You need to trust God that he won't leave you where you're at. I really believe somebody, you feel God's turned his back on you. Just things are not working right. Things are not working out. You're just struggling. And I just want to tell you, God says, just trust me. Just trust me. If you commit your ways unto the Lord, he will take care of it for you. You know, we don't have to know everything. Just know he's working things out for us. Amen? Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, real quick. Ephesians chapter 4. Gosh, I didn't even do one page of my notes. Ephesians chapter 4. Part 2. Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse 7. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. You there yet? Amen? It says, but to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now this he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. Jesus went to the lowest pit of hell for you and me. Now listen, in hell there is no time, just like there is no time in heaven. In other words, when he was down there, he had no idea how long 3 days was. Him and his father already discussed the plan. He said, you're going to go to hell. And even though that he knew the plan, he still said in the garden, I don't want to do this. Father, remove this cup from me. You know, Father, my spirit is willing, my flesh is weak. I don't want to do this. But then when he went down there 3 days and three nights, he had no idea when the clock was running down. But he had to trust his father. He says, you will not leave me in hell. Amen? Amen. You may be going through hell right now. Just know God will not leave you in hell. He'll bail you out every single time. He'll get you through. We got the victory. God is going to turn some things around. He's a turnaround specialist. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He'll never leave you the way he found you. He'll always make you better. He'll always put better things in your life. God is an amazing God. He opened up heaven to edge. Think about it. He loves us so much, he wants to spend eternity with us. We, the ones who turn our backs on him all the time. He still says, I still love you. I still want to live with you forever. Amazing. What a God he is. Isaiah 14. I'll wrap this. Let me just show you this, and I'll start wrapping this up. Isaiah 14, verse 9. This is discussing Satan. It's a prophecy to Satan. Isaiah is prophesying to Satan. Verse 9. Ready? He says, hell from beneath is excited about you. To meet you at your coming, it stirs up the dead for you, all the chief ones of the earth. It has raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. They all shall speak and say to you, have you also become weak as we? Have you become like us? Your pomp is brought down to Sheol. You know what pomp is, right? You ever hear of pomp and circumstance? When people parade around in their big uniforms and full of pride and arrogance and say, hey, look at me, look at me, look at me. He says, yeah, your pomp is coming down too.
Wow.
Don't ever put pomp in God's face. Talk about a man who's a guy who's got pomp. That's God. He's got angels circling him, surrounding him, and singing to him. He's the only one who deserves pomp. I'm going to use that word a lot, pomp. Pomp it up. That's it. And the sound of your stringed instruments, the maggot is spread under you, and worms cover you. Nobody likes to hear this stuff in church, you know, but it's truth. This is hell. Worms, man. Worms are going to be eating you. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit in the mount of the congregations of the north, farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be. Did you see how many eyes? I. When you start talking about yourself and that's all you talk about, you're full of pomp. God just got fed up with all the eyes and said, oh yeah, here you go. Bam, he was gone. He was gone. He had a thought. And God said, oh no, you don't. You're out of here. And Jesus said, I beheld Satan cast down from heaven like lightning. And that's how fast God got rid of him. He got to the fifth eye and God said, bam, you're out. Hopefully the last eye would have said, I repent. But he said, no, I will take your seat. And God said, oh yeah, that's the final straw. You're out of here. Verse 15, yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. All right, let me wind this up a little bit. This have to be a part two-er. What do you think, Paula? Part two-er, part three-er, part four-er, part five-er? All right, let me do this. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Let me do this last. Let me do this last Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse 6. This is part of the Beatitudes, Sermon on the Mount. Jesus now is talking about sparrows. Luke chapter 12, verse 6, he says this, are not five sparrows sold for two copper coins? And not one of them is forgotten before God, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are more value than sparrows. If God's eye is on the sparrow, think about where his eye is on you. Let me give you a little story behind the sparrows here. The sparrows were the cheapest bird you can find in those days. And actually, they were so cheap that if you sold them, that they would the seller would actually throw in a lot of freebies, a lot of free sparrows, because they were dirt cheap. If a sparrow was a penny, they would probably throw in five more because they were that cheap. But God said, Jesus says this. He's also God, by the way. He says this. He says, I even value the cheap sparrows. And my eye is on the very sparrow that the world considers valueless. My eye is on you. Even though the world thinks you're valueless, even though the world would rather watch you rot in the street and be homeless, even though the world thinks nothing of you, I watch you. I know the very hairs on your head. It's the love of God. That love says, hell no. God's compassion for you God's love for you, if Almighty God knows the sparrow that is flying around in Home Depot right now, God knows that sparrow's name, think about how he knows you. For those of you that are watching on Facebook Live, one of the things we have never done is invited you to send us a message if you need prayer. We have many people in this church that are willing to pray with you. Counselors, staff. If you're out there and maybe you just don't want to come to church, call us, email us. We'll make sure somebody reaches out to you. You're part of the service. Even though you're sitting behind a screen, you're part of the service. God cares about you as well. And for all those in here, if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, if you just can't say, he knows me, today's the day that you need to give your life to him. You need to expose your heart to him. Because there is a hell. But to God, you're greater than a sparrow. I'm going to ask you just to take a minute and think about your life, your relationship with Christ right now. I've asked John to sing this song, and I pray that it ministers to your heart before we close.
Hallelujah.
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 comes to an end and us preachers walk into heaven, if there is nobody behind us, we failed. We can fill a room with 6,000 people, raise millions of dollars a year, build orphanages and things like that, but none of you are there, we failed. Our mission, our whole purpose for being preachers is to make sure you get to heaven. And sometimes that may mean scaring the hell out of you. But by any means that we get there, we get there. Didn't Jesus say that cut one arm off if it offends you, if it'll keep you from heaven? He says, just get to heaven. We always say, a lot of us, it's just say this prayer and you'll go to heaven. Well, it's a little bit more than just a simple prayer. Because Romans 10:9 says, if you confess Jesus as Lord, that means you got to give him your heart. That means it's just not a repentance, a state of repentance where, Lord, forgive me of my sin. I confess Jesus Christ as my Savior, but now I make him Lord. That means a lifestyle. That means living a life where he's in charge. It's a difference. Amen. It's not just a cheap prayer. It's not a two-step prayer and you go to heaven. No, our responsibility is to get you saved and make sure we drag you into heaven. Kicking and screaming. Amen. So if you're here this morning and if you've never confessed Jesus Christ as Lord, if you've never made him the Lord of your life, if you've never confessed him as Savior, I'll say he's the only way to heaven, period. There is no other way. You can try. There is no other way. You want to make your election sure this morning that you're definitely going to heaven and you want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, just raise your hand, please. Anybody in the room, just raise your hand. Thank you for that hand. Thank you. You can put it down. Anybody else? Now, you're probably saying, Pastor, please don't embarrass me. You're going to be embarrassed a lot when you walk into heaven and he says, no, I never knew you. That'll be eternal shame. So I don't mind shaming somebody for about 5 minutes. I'm not shaming you. This is the glorious, most glorious day of your life. Because you make heaven. It's the greatest day ever.